Matthew 13, beginning in verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened." Now, we'll be reading some more scriptures when we get down further in the lesson, so kind of hold your place right there. But we'll be beginning by saying, in addition to the parable of the seed growing in itself, Jesus gave the other parables on the growth of the kingdom. These two, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, look at the same subject from different points of view. The parable of the mustard seed is taken from the garden or field, and the parable of the leaven is taken from the home. In Palestine, it was common to speak of the mustard seed as the littlest of all seeds. Strictly speaking, it was not, but there are other seeds that are smaller, but the tiny mustard seed was proverbially used to stand for anything minute. Jesus once spoke of faith as a grain of mustard seed. He told the apostles that if they had faith, even as a small amount of faith, like a grain of mustard seed, they would be able to do many mighty works, Matthew 7:20 and Luke 17:6. And a lot of times we say we have faith, but if we had faith just as a little grain of mustard seed, we could do great things. If we believe that when we pray that God answers our prayers according to his will, and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. But a lot of times we fall short in that, including myself. Both Matthew and Mark emphasize that the small mustard seed becomes the largest of the herbs. The Palestinian mustard plant, because of its size, was not set out in the garden, but in the open field. It was not unusual for it to grow as high as 10 or 12 feet. It was a giant of the shrubs, so large that its branches spread out like a tree. Such a shrub would attract many birds. This is what happens in the parable. In Jesus' time, birds would often be seen in the branches of the mustard plant as they fed on the small black seeds of the mustard pods. Thus, the parable presented a familiar scene to the Jews, and yet one calculated by Jesus to teach new lessons on the growth of God's kingdom. One of the lessons of the parable is the importance of little things. The little mustard seed by itself does not look so important, but we should not diminish it or minimize it. The little things of life should not be discounted. A lot of times we think the bigger the thing we can do for somebody, the better off they are. But a lot of times it's the little things, saying hello, calling them up, seeing how they're doing, visiting the sick, doing all these things, get remembered a lot more than these so-called, quote, big things that we do. So we always need to remember the little things that we can do each day to help someone along life's way. The world today is demanding bigness. Modern-sized skyscrapers dwarf the Tower of Babel. Too often a farmer or a business is deemed a success or a failure depending on the bigness of his operations. Jesus said, pay attention to the little things. A cup of cold water, a visit to the sick, a welcome to a stranger or a lost sheep. These are the little things, but like a grain of mustard seed, they increase to size beyond imaginable proportions. Just as a side note to that, you talk about bigness. I've seen, you know, you go into a electronics store, and people are always looking for the latest things, the latest gadgets, the latest things they can play with or whatever. There are now TVs that are over 100 inches in diameter, And I could not imagine that would almost be bigger than my house, trying to put that up somewhere. And yet it gets bigger. Every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We demand bigness. We demand the best of everything. But in small beginnings, however important little things, as important as little things may be, the parable actually focuses attention on the consequences of little things. History's greatest movement had its beginning in a manger in Bethlehem. The Roman world was too busy to notice and did not care less when he died, for he was only a carpenter of Nazareth. How many people today, you ask them, who is Jesus to you? And they say, well, he was a good man. He was a prophet, but he wasn't God. He was just a babe in a manger. But he was much more than that. Certainly, its outward appearance, Jesus looked less than the least of all seeds. His followers were counted by the dozens and not by the thousands. And yet, from only a handful of disciples, and in spite of their leader's death on a cross, there sprang into existence the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should learn the lesson of the grain of mustard seed. A thing may begin very small, almost without hope, and yet in the end succeed because God is behind it. I mean, when I was a 6-month baby when I was born. I was 3 pounds and 8 ounces. I saw pictures of my dad holding me in his hand, and it looked like he was holding a hand puppet. That's how small I was. And yet here I am, 60 years old, still going, according to the Lord's will and blessing every day. So, if God is behind something, he's going to see it prosper. Denominations today will try to interpret so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof to mean different denominations of the church. We must look at Christianity as found in the first century and not today, because the first century denominations were unknown. Like the mustard seed, the kingdom of God would be small in the beginning, but it would grow as the gospel was proclaimed far and wide. Many times Jesus had seen women making bread. Everyone knew about it. So he said the kingdom was like leaven placed in 3 measures of meal. There is nothing significant about the 3 measures. In the leavening of bread, dough was kept over from the previous baking and inserted in the new mixture to ferment it. In the New Testament, leaven is used as a symbol of both good and evil. The Jews identified fermentation with rottenness, and the leaven was often used by them to refer to an evil influence. Jesus warned his disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, Mark 8:15. And Paul said on several occasions, a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf, 1 Corinthians 5:6 and Galatians 5:9. But leaven was likewise used by the Jews to spread a good influence. Standing either for good or bad, leaven was a fixture for any strong and pervasive influence. In this parable, Jesus speaks of leaven in the good sense, as a woman uses it for good purposes to make light and wholesome bread. So understand, the kingdom of light is like leaven on several respects. The first is the inner influence. Leaven does its work from within. It can do nothing to the dough until it is put inside. The religion of Christ works that way. The true influence that changes man works within a man's heart. A man is now converted until he is converted within, until his heart is changed. Christianity is like leaven. It is not on the outside trying to get in, but it is on the inside trying to get out. 2, the changing quality. When leaven is put into the baking meal, it changes its ingredients. When Christ and his kingdom are introduced to mankind, great changes take place. Christianity is a disturbing thing. It upsets people. The reason is, the world does not like Christ. The world sees Christ as somebody that's trying to tell them what to do, or kind of guide them along to the right path, and they're thinking they're on the right path all along, and truthfulness, they're on their way to hell because they're not listening to what Christ says. At Philippi, it was said of Paul and his friends, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city." Acts 16:20. At Thessalonica, against the same men, the cry was, "These men have turned the world upside down, have come here also." Acts 17:6. So it has always been. You think about it, there were just 12 disciples, and everybody's just turning the world upside down, you know, with the doctrine and all of this talk of love and love your enemies, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And all of this disturbing teaching is getting to us. At Philippi, when Christ comes into a man's heart, he becomes a new man. That's true. He does new deeds, Colossians 3:5-17. He has new thoughts, Colossians 3:1-4. So at this time, I'd like to read Colossians 3, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 17. And there's a lot of good in that scripture. So bear with me just 1 second. Colossians 1. 3:1-17. Alrighty. Okay. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now that you're in Christ, you're not walking in them anymore. But now you yourself are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect people of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Listen to these words here. To put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. There's one. We don't like to hear about long-suffering, but a lot of times it's necessary. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the, to God, the Father, through him. So whatever you do in word or deed, you're supposed to give thanks to God. And do we do that every day? In anything that we do, we try to give thanks to God? Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we get involved in our day and we fly by and just kind of forget about the Lord for that time frame. And then all of a sudden we realize, you know, the Lord's done so much for me, and yet I don't show the love to him that I need to be doing. And number three, as far as what we were talking about earlier, is the contagion characteristic. Leaven works contagiously until the whole is leavened. Leavened is aggressive. It does not stop until it is spread through the whole mixture. The kingdom of God likewise spreads by contagion. The early church multiplied by leaps and bounds because each one won one. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you prayed for somebody that asked you to pray for them? When was the last time that you witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, me, I'll admit to you, testifying of the Lord to me is a scary thing. I freeze up. I just can't express myself the way I want to express myself. But I know I need to be doing it more than what I'm doing. And as we all do. Leaven is used in the scripture for either good or bad. A good example is contagious like leaven. But a bad example is contagious also. So you can either decide to be the good leaven or the evil leaven. We have a choice to make. We always have choices to make. We have choices to make every day. We have choices to make on what we're going to wear. We have choices to make on what we're going to eat. We have choices to make as far as if we go to church, if we study as much as we need to. All these things we have choices to do every day. And we must make the right choices in order to be pleasing to God. Jesus said that God's kingdom grows and spreads like leaven. Is your influence contributing to that growth? So are you contributing to the growth of God as far as the leaven being good, the influence of good, or the influence of evil? You have to only answer that question. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. But you have to examine yourself, look into your hearts, and realize, am I doing what I need to be doing for the Lord? Well, that's all about all I have for this lesson. So if you want to answer the call of the Lord in any way, please stand with me as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, 84.